Have your Bibles tonight. 2 Corinthians. Last week, we ended up on verses 13 through 15 of chapter 11. I want to draw your attention that Jesus said through the Apostle Paul here that it's not a marvelous thing in verse 14 that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So in other words, Satan can make himself look like any great Christian in this life. He can make himself look like any great pastor. He can make himself look like whatever that you and I would look up to and say, wow, there's somebody really special, and I'm going to listen to them. So the Bible says that Satan can become, can fill that person. If they're not saved, Satan can take over our life. Now, if we are saved, he's not more powerful than the Holy Spirit, so all he can do is oppress us. He can just pressure us. He can just get us to do things that aren't right. He can put a great deal of peer pressure on us, or a great deal of pressure on us, and if we're not walking with the Lord, we don't have the spiritual strength to say no. All of us in this room can do that. We're all susceptible to that. But God wants us to learn, don't listen to the people that teach false doctrine. You'll notice in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. In other words, they have an ulterior motive, but they are teaching things that are not true. And last week we looked at Galatians, where he said, if you take your Bible and turn over there real quickly, if you would, just the next book, 2 Corinthians, and then you'll notice Galatians chapter 1. And you'll notice in verse 1, he said, I marvel. Now, he used the same word in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So anything that perverts the truth is called another gospel. And there's all kinds of other gospels out there. The Church of Christ, you've got to be saved and baptized, or you can't go to heaven. The Free Will Baptist, you've got to be saved, but you can lose it if you're not careful. The idea that that there are some that you need to work, you've got to work hard. There are seven sacraments. You've got to take the sacraments. You've got to take the Lord's Supper as a method of grace. It helps save you. And each of the baptism is a sacrament. It helps save you. That's what a sacrament is. It is a portion of salvation. All of those things are false doctrine. They're false gospels. They're another gospel. Jesus Christ said the gospel is very simple. And you'll notice he points out, he said that if you believe any other thing, he said, I'm amazed, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the truth. You want to know why that is? Because a lot of things sound good. But if you read the scriptures and you learn and get your truth from the scriptures and you mark in God's word and you get your truth from here, when something comes along that sounds good and you check it back with scripture, you'll find that it doesn't shine up right. It just doesn't hold water. There's just some things missing or some things that they've added that just don't make a lot of sense. And so I would remind you tonight that there's all kinds of false doctrines out there. And there's only one truth. And the truth is in the scriptures that said Jesus died for us. He loved us. He paid our debt of sin. You and I trust him as Savior. And from then on, we're his child. And now let's live for him because we love him. Let's live for him because of what he's done for us out of appreciation and gratitude. And that's simply the gospel. And we get baptized to let people know we're proud to be a Christian. No other reason. Jesus wasn't lost, so his baptism wasn't a part of his salvation because he was perfect. But he did it to obey his Father. That's why you and I get baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be honoring to them. So I want you to notice tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 16, Paul then has to look at it and say he's trying to defend himself. Because first they attacked the gospel, then they attacked Paul. And they said, you have no grounds to tell the truth. You have no grounds to preach. So notice in the outline, Roman number 1, Paul had to defend his apostleship and right to be heard in spiritual things. So there are times whenever you and I have to explain our defense of the gospel. And the way I like to do it is, look, You can say whatever you want to, but I remember when I was a young man and I was under great conviction, and I went down to the church, went in the back room and got it on my knees, and it's just another man and I don't even knew that man was. But I remember asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me, and a burden was lifted, and it's never come back in 51 years, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. So you can have whatever you want. I've got the scriptural proof. In Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I put my finger there and said, my name is David Pittman, and I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. Will you save me? And that day, the promise of God was given to me, and it changed my life. And so whenever some people come to me and say, well, you know, you that's good, but you still got to do good. And I ask them, where is that found? And then they begin to stammer and hum-haw around. And then I quote them Romans chapter 6, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's real simple. How long is eternal life? And pretty soon they begin to sort of wilt a little bit and say, well, you know, that's just what I've been told. And I said, well, you ought to read what God has said. Now, you'll notice here Paul is trying to defend himself so that his message could be heard, so the gospel could be heard. So you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, A, he told us it is foolishness to have to point out your own accomplishments. He said, who wants to do that in order to be heard? Notice, number one, if one is overly criticized about his qualifications to do something, that person has to reveal his qualifications. So Paul starts to do that. He begins to explain why he should be heard. I'm glad these are not qualifications for everybody, because I couldn't meet them. And I want you to notice what he says. Romans 1a2, Paul said it was a foolish thing to brag on yourself, but he would do it if it would help his detractors realize he's preaching the truth. So he's trying to give credibility to his ability to preach the gospel. He's not trying to get them to believe what he's saying. He's trying to get them to listen to the messenger about the truth. And so you'll notice B in the outline, Paul's qualifications to preach were amazing. Now I want you to notice, if you would, he says in verse number 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. In other words, I'll just tell you a few things that God has done in my life. Verse number 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, and I speak foolishly. You can just sense here that Paul is dreading bringing up his so-called qualifications or accomplishments. I am bold also. Let me just explain it to you. Are they Hebrews? In other words, the Jews were lambasting him. He said, so am I. So they can't say I'm not a Jew, and I don't understand. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In other words, they say I'm, I preach about Christ too. He said, well, I'm more than that. Notice why he said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Many times I faced death. And then he explained it. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, I want to tell you this. When you get beat with 40 stripes, now, the difference between what Jesus got and what Paul got was simple. Paul received a Jewish beating, and their law was a limit of 40 stripes, save one. They could never go above 40 stripes. They couldn't get to 40 stripes. It was their legal law. So whenever they were going to beat Paul, they would get a certain whip that had long thongs in it, and they would beat him, and he could only receive 39 stripes. So let's say it had 3 thongs on it. They would take him and hit him 13 times because they knew that they could only hit him those 39 stripes. 5 times he got beat like that because of the cause of Christ. Now, the difference between that and a scourging is the scourging Jesus took was Roman, and the Romans had no law or limit. So that is why the Romans raised up a notch, and they put glass particles or pottery particles and embedded them in the end of their whip. And so when they would whip a person, they would try to peel their skin off. They would just not beat them. And they didn't just beat them 39 stripes. They beat them until they got tired. So many times in Josephus and other historical books, you'll read the person actually died in the beating. Because they would just remove everything to hold the inwards in, and they would just die right there in the rack as they're beating them. And Jesus took that, and he had lost so much blood, that's the reason he couldn't carry the cross up Mount Calvary, because he had lost so much blood from the beating. That didn't even include all the other things that happened after that. The crown of thorns, nails, hands and feet, the beating he took from the Roman soldiers. And Jesus Christ did all that for us. And so Paul is saying, you know, I've gotten 39 stripes, save one, 5 times. So that alone would separate him and make him much more willing to be heard. Not the message is better, but the messenger has suffered to deliver the message. So notice, if you would, in the outline, 1, he was a Jew. 2, this is B2, he was imprisoned for Christ's sake and beaten 39 stripes 5 times. 3, he was even beaten with rods and shipwrecked 3 different times because of Christ. 4, he had suffered a lot in his travels, but his greatest suffering was he was being stoned and left for dead. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Now, the difference between a rod and a cat of nine tails, that's a Roman whip, or the Jewish whip, was that there were leather thongs in the whip. But a rod was a slender piece of wood that was like a dowel rod, and they would get beat with that. It would bruise. It would break bones sometimes because it was thin and it would not break. It would just bend around the body, and it hurt something awful because it went all the way to the bone, whereas the whip didn't. So he said, I got beat with rods 3 times. You'll notice then he said this, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. Now, you know, the stoning, there's not many records of anybody ever living through a stoning, but this one. I personally think that Paul was raised from the dead in there. They stoned him, drug him outside of the city and left him for dead, and he got up. He got up and went on to the next city. I don't think anybody that gets a stoning gets out without having broken bones and concussions and all kinds of things. And he got up and went to the next city. That was a miracle. Now, notice with me, if you would, 5 in the outline. Paul so loved Christ that he was very willing to suffer for him. Now, you know, a lot of us in this room, we might say we love Christ, but are we willing to suffer for him? Now, nobody in this room is going to get 39 stripes. Our suffering would be a different type. You go to work, people make fun of you. How do you handle it? Do you handle it with grace? There's a measure of emotional suffering when you're persecuted. It's not like this, but it still hurts. When people make fun of you because you're a Christian, we have to be careful that we stand up and do what's right. It's especially difficult for teenagers in a public environment, whether it be a team of unsaved players or it be a Christian school where some of the kids don't want to do what's right and they sort of hide it. They kind of mutter under their breath about the other kids trying to do what's right. You see, all of us in this room, we suffer. If you love Christ and are faithful, you're going to have people criticize you. He said it just comes with the territory. There are some people going to look at you and want to tear you down because you're really trying to do what's right and they're jealous. It happens all the time. Now, it ought not to happen. And the solution for that is James 2:1, what we've been looking at on Sunday nights is when you look into the mirror of the Word of God and see yourself and say, I'm just going to concentrate on me and forget everybody else. That's what I wish I could get everybody in this room to do. Take the Word of God and concentrate on you. And if you do that, you'll be fine. Because you begin to see flaws in your own life and you're so horrified because you want to please the Lord. You don't want to look at somebody else and criticize them because everything you see in them is in you. It's just like we look in the Word of God and say, oh my, I can't believe that. I didn't know that was there. Notice with me if you would. Six in the outline, B6. Finally, Paul carried the burden for all the new churches that he had started. He wanted them to succeed. Notice with me if you would, in verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, staying up, trying to keep from getting beat or getting taken captive in a city that didn't want me there. In hunger and thirst. Remember, he didn't take money from the Corinthians. So there were times when he didn't have enough money as a missionary to take care of himself. In fastings often. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a burden that's heavy enough and you begin to fast and pray about something, and if you did it regularly, it takes a toll on your body. In cold and nakedness, he had to go without. There were times whenever, if you remember, he said, especially the parchment, but bring my cloak. He was in prison. So would you bring my robe so that I can keep myself warm? There were times when Paul was freezing. And I don't have to tell you, being cold out in the weather is a miserable thing. Notice what he said, verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, I know a little bit about this one. When I hear that somebody's having financial trouble, they lost a job, they need a job. Many times I'll stop and pray, and Lord, would you give them a job? Somebody's car breaks down. You might say, well, those are little things, but I've seen people quit the Lord for little things. And as a pastor, I want to see you continue on for the Lord. And so when you lose a job or you lose your health a bit, you have to go to the hospital and you begin to question things and you begin to get burdened. But Lord, please help so-and-so. When they begin to sort of, what's the use? I don't want that to happen. I want every one of you to serve the Lord. It's a great burden that Paul had weighted down on him, care of more, not just one church, not just temple, but all the churches he had started, Philippi, Corinth and Rome and all kinds of places. Titus, the Cretan church. There were churches all over that he had been part of. Macedonian church. And, you know, he wanted them to thrive in the Lord. And he knew the dangers. He knew that they had just come out of prostitution for their worship in Corinth. And he said, look, you're not your body's the temple of God. And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God with your body. So he's got something different. He's got to tell each one. The Galatians, look, I'm amazed that you've so moved away from Christ so quickly into another gospel. Why would you do that? And then he proceeds to write six more chapters total about the truth of the gospel. He was burdened for them. Anybody here ever written a letter to someone that you're burdened for? Trying to get them to change or to do what's right. Anybody ever done that? How many of you done that? Let me see your hand. Anybody like that? You've written a note to somebody because you want them to change? I tell you, you pour your heart into that pen. You pour your heart into that phone call. I remember many times Susan would talk to her brother, pour her heart out on the phone. Scott, you can't do this. You know the Lord. It's not right. I love you, but won't you do right? Well, you know, thank you for your prayers. I got to go. We get off the phone and she'd cry sometimes. That's the burden that Paul felt for a myriad of people. A heavyweight. Somebody doesn't come to church. I get burdened when people aren't here tonight. When people aren't here Sunday. I know sometimes it's just vacations. That's part of the reason I tell you I hate vacations, because I don't know if you're all right or not. I don't know if you're just on vacation. I want you to be able to go and have a good time and relax. But I want you to come back. I want you to come back to the Lord. It's not to me and it's not to this place. It's to the Lord. This place represents the Lord. I want you to walk with the Lord, because that's the happiest place on earth. That's the most comfortable place on earth. That's the most blessed place on earth, is close to the Lord. And I know that nobody can be there outside this place if you're one of our church members. I know that you cannot be that way if you go to work and you don't do what's right at work. I want you to do what's right everywhere you go. So Paul had this weight on him about all the people in the churches. Notice this. Now, I would say this to you. If pastoring is a job to you, it doesn't matter. But it wasn't a job to Paul. It was a ministry. It was a labor of love for Christ. So it was a weight. Now, he turned it over to the Lord, but he said it was still a care for me. Now, I want you to notice, he said in verse 29, I want you to get this one. This is an important one. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Paul is admitting, look, I know you get tired and you don't want to come to church. He said, have you ever realized I get tired too? Who's offended? Somebody's done something to offend you? He said, and you don't think I get upset and burned too? At people, things that people do to me? He said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, what God's doing in my life. Now, what you notice, see in the outline, Paul admitted he was weak and hurt, some by people. In other words, everybody in this room, you got to understand, you know, it's not just you that gets hurt. It's not just a teenager, your children get hurt. All of us get hurt sometimes. But if you don't look into God's word, you become selfish and say, woe is me. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter 12, the theme sort of changes a little bit, but yet he's still trying to defend his position. Notice in verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I'm going to tell you what the Lord has done for me to prepare me to give you the gospel. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He said, in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. It's not like I was asleep. I don't know really what happened. I just know what I saw and what I heard. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. That's the Lord's heaven. Notice, and I knew such a man, and he's sort of telling it like it's third person. How that he was caught up into paradise. So we know from this verse that paradise has been taken to heaven. Let me back up. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, he went to paradise where Lazarus was and took paradise to heaven with him. And so it emptied it. And then you remember the Bible says, and hell hath enlarged itself. I think hell just began to expand in that location. So understand, they all went to heaven. Jesus said, Paul said, I went to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for me to utter. So now you can tell this third person is him. He said, now notice in verse number six, for thou would desire to glory and tell everybody what happened, how that I went to heaven and heard these words, but I can't repeat them. Now, I tell you why I don't think you could repeat them. I think it's because for John to write them down. I think it's the same stuff, the same things he saw that John saw, but John had permission to write it and he didn't. You'll notice he said in verse number six, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I'm not going to glory and brag, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. I don't want anybody to think I'm something special. God took me to heaven, let me see unbelievable things, but I don't want you to think I'm something special. I just don't want you to understand. I don't want you to see that. He said, notice this. lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or that he heareth of me. I don't want you to believe what you hear. Now, if Paul were here today and he was preaching in some church in Pennsylvania, the word would be all over the place. Paul is here. He said, you get bigger than life by all of the rumors. I don't want you to think that. So notice what he says. And this is a real point I want us to all learn tonight. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, folks, tonight, everybody in this room has a tendency to be lifted up because you have talents and abilities, gifts and abilities that God gave to you. And when you use them correctly, you're going to do a good job and people are going to notice it. But he said, Paul said, look, I've done a good job with what God gave me, and that was faithfulness and determination. I fought through the seven beatings, cat of nine tails, or the 39 stripes five times, the rods and the stonings. I fought through all that. And he said, but I want you to understand something. It's not in me. And notice what he said in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Because Paul wrote, we know, 12 books of the New Testament. And if you count Hebrews 13. If you look at the syntax and the way Hebrews is written in the Greek text, it looks sort of Pauline, but you're not sure. So notice, if you would, in verse 7 he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. If we had somebody here that wrote a book of scripture, when he came in the door and say, hey, he's an author. He wrote part of the Bible. That was what was happening. And he said, lest I should be lifted up because I'd written 12 different books that had been accepted as scripture. He said, God gave me something. Notice what he said. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now let's go to the outline. Paul was caught up to the heaven and heard words he couldn't repeat. Paul received special treatment from the Lord, and he was used in a special way. He was used to write more scripture than anybody that ever lived. So God treated him special and used him special. But in exchange for that, God gave him a thorn in the flesh that would cause him to have to trust the Lord, that would prevent him from being lifted up with pride. Notice A, he wanted to glory in all that God had used him to do and all he had seen, but he just couldn't. He just gloried in Christ. That's why he said in verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities, my weakness. Notice B, because God had used him so much to write scripture and do things for God, the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble and reliant upon God. Now, I want to take just a minute. So when you and I in this room wonder why God did something to put us in our place, to cause us not to be lifted up, to take away some respect from us, it's usually because our flesh is starting to rise up a little bit. And if we've given him permission, Lord, I want to serve you, do whatever it takes. I want to walk with you. If you have your Bible, turn to James. I want you to see this verse. James, chapter 4. Look in verse number six. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. So in other words, let you and I just submit ourselves to the Lord and say, you use me however you see fit. I'm yours. That's what he wants from all of us. Teach a Sunday school class. Help the computers, work in the choir, be in the nursery. No one's too good for anything. We're just servants. You know, it's amazing to me, one of the greatest evangelists to ever live was Philip. You know what Philip started out as? A deacon, a table waiter. He waited on widows. And he didn't mind it. It was an honor to be able to serve the widows. I don't think somehow we would feel that way. And if we don't, if we do feel that way, the Lord's got to do something to give us a thorn in the flesh. To get us to the position where we say, Lord, I'm yours. Notice what he says. verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Watch this. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. So in other words, he's saying, look, if you want to walk with me, if you want to get close to the Lord, he said, then you got to cleanse your hands. You got to clean up. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and remind yourself, verse 7, middle of the verse, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to pound on me, to beat me up, to bruise me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, the attitude we have about the way the Lord works with us makes all the difference. If the Lord sends us difficulties to keep us humble, are we grateful? Are we appreciative? Folks, we have to get in the point in our Christian lives where we say, Lord, thank you for keeping me in your will. And sometimes he has to send a thorn in the flesh. Now, in Paul's case, it was permanent. I think there's a lot of evidence that it was his eyes. At one point he said, look, if you could have, you'd have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. And another passage, he says, someone else wrote the book for him. In other words, he told them what to write and they wrote it down. He had an amanuense. That tells me that Paul could not see very well. Now, I don't have to tell you, if you're an author, vision is critical. So here Paul says, you gave me a thorn in the flesh so I could not say, look what I wrote. Hey, everybody, look what I wrote. I can't write anything. All I can do is just say what God's told me to say. He humbled him. Now, I want you to notice this, and we'll close. I want you to notice, if you would, see in the outline, we must all be humble and rely upon the Lord. God sometimes allowed hard things in our lives to help us stay humble and in need of more of him. You know, tonight, in America, we don't really know what it's like to be in need of more of him. Unless you humble yourself. Unless you say, Lord, help me. Now, I want you to see this verse. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Paul did the normal thing that all of us would do. And I don't think it was wrong at all. I think it's right. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now, he got his answer after the third prayer. After the third request. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now you see, that's the passage that the Lord, now watch this, if you got a red letter edition, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then it changes. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I don't know how many of us are there. Lord, I'm going to rejoice in the thorn you gave me. I'm going to rejoice in the burden and the hurt you gave me. I'm going to rejoice in, Lord, what you did to knock me down, to keep me humble where you could use me. Tonight, what's your attitude about the thorn in the flesh? Some of us might have a big thorn in the flesh. It is anything that humbles your heart and cause you to look up and say, Lord, I need you. It can be a breakdown of your car. It's a temporary thorn. It can be a loss of a job. It's a temporary thorn. or it could be a health issue, permanent cancer, a permanent thorn, a loss of a leg or a limb, a permanent thorn. But God uses those things to keep us humble and sweet and reliant upon Him. Now let me ask you this question, we'll close. How many of us would be willing to say, Lord, give me a thorn, but keep me close to You? Are you that good a Christian? Lord, give me a thorn, but don't let me stray away from You. Tonight, let that be your question. See in the outline, the last sentence, He loves us and has our best interest at heart. The Lord never allows hurt to come in our life, but it's for a purpose. And He wants to keep us close to Him. Tonight, are you close to Him? Let's bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. And I'm trying to get done a little bit earlier on Wednesday night this year so we can spend a little bit more time in prayer. Now I'm going to ask you, just a moment when the pianist plays, we'll have a word of prayer. And if you need to come to this altar, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, come to me. Let me help you. And if everything's settled and maybe you're just carrying a weight, bring it to the Lord tonight. He loves you. He has your best interest at heart. You can never look at Him and say, Lord, don't You care? He always cares. And better yet, He can always help. Lord Jesus, tonight, how do we say thank You for enduring the scourging, the mockery, the beating, the crown of thorns, the nails, the spitting? All the while, all You had to do was say one word, come, and the angels would have destroyed the world and set You free, and we'd all had to go to hell. Lord, how do we say thank You for Your courage, for Your love, for Your strength? Help us tonight to be able to look at You and say, Lord, give me a thorn, but keep me close to You. Speak to our hearts tonight. In Your name I pray. Amen.